But we do have something to look into here. Get this rescued out of the holder here. The first place that we're going to be this evening will be in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, and you should always have your Bibles, come to the Lord's house. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And we'll come to that in just a minute, but I want to mention something before we read any of that. Not too long ago here, I had a conversation with a friend, a colleague, a co-worker, somebody who we deal with in business quite a bit. And we talked about this and that. And as things go, we eventually began to talk about age and death. And there's a lot of people that have died here recently because of COVID, because of whatever. And so we talked about death, how this life ends. And then what? Then we talked about then what? You know what he said? He said that we were no better than those cows out there in that pasture. Now, where he works, there's a lot of cows, there's a lot of cattle. And we have a lot here in Florida. I don't even know if you noticed, but we even have cows and stuff right here in town. So he's right around them. And he said, we're not any better off than them cows out there in the pasture. That when we die, it's all over. And just tongue in cheek, I'm saying, well, not for cows. I mean, there's McDonald's and Burger King and all that after that, once they die. But is it all over when we die? Are we no better than cows? Let's go back where it all began. Now we've got to fill in some things here about how we're getting to the reason that we come to here in figuring that we are better than cows. But in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And now we're going to skip all the way down to verse 24. Okay? "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle," okay, that's cows, "and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so." Well, that's something I learned already. Cows came before men. Cows came before people. God created the cattle and stuff first because he hasn't gotten to man yet. But then we do find that God did something different. On the sixth day, what did he do? He created man. How? How did God create man? Look at verse 25. We stopped there at 24. Look at verse 25. "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind." Remember Brother France talking about that, after their kind? That's why you don't see no transgender animals. Nothing like that. They after their kind. They produce a grasshopper produces a grasshopper. They know nothing, and there is no evolution. There is none. Show me evolution. Show me something evolving from one thing into another. You won't see it. Anyway, they creep at that kind, so God saw that it was good. Verse 26 is what I want you to notice here. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle," that's cows, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In his own image, after his likeness. This is very significant. God also gave man authority, dominion over the other creatures, the fish, the birds, the cattle, the bugs. You know, yeah, all creatures have life. A God-given grace to enjoy the earth that he made. However, man got more. Look over in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, okay? Genesis 2, 1 through 7. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And I look at that verse and I go, you know, that verse has authority. I know that Moses wrote this according to what God gave him to write, but that it's like this is the witness. This is the truth. This is what happened. And this is your history of the world. There'd be a lot of scientists that need to pay attention to that. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. They say, well, there wasn't any rain before the flood. The whole earth is just full of scientific proof that the Bible's true. But this is how the earth got the water. A mist went up from the ground the way that God had made it. Before it grew. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There's no rain. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Now pay attention to this part. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So what did man get more than the cows? He got a soul. A spiritual self. The animals did not attain this level. Cows do not have souls. They don't. Nowhere do we ever find it recorded that any animal must answer to God for the sins that they commit in their lives. That's foolishness, isn't it? But you don't. Do you see animals sinning like man does? I don't see it. We don't see that. Now, there were laws written in the Old Testament regarding the behavior of animals. You think about that, an animal does something wrong, what to do in certain circumstances. Look in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 29. Just follow me on this. I mean, it's kind of foolishness, but Exodus 21 and verse 29 says, and these are diverse laws, different laws and stuff that God gave. It's not just the Ten Commandments. If you want to read the Bible, read the Old Testament. There's a lot of commandments that talk about things that a lot of the things that's going on today would not be going on if they read these laws that God had. But this it covered a lot of different things that might happen. You know, if you trespassed against your neighbor a certain way and you did something, it was covered in here. They knew everything to do. But look what it does. This is involving a person and their ox, their animal. It says, but if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, this is talking about an ox wants to, he's used to using his horn and pushing against things and stuff, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned. Okay, he's going to lose his life. And his owner also shall be put to death. And like I said, I mean, it's kind of foolishness in my part, but the animal did not do that. He had a bad habit, but it wasn't a sin. These cows did not sin. But the man did sin, you see. And that's why he was put to death, because he knew that the cow, the ox did that, but then he didn't put him up. He didn't keep him penned in. And so he went out and he killed somebody, and so then that man has to be put to death. So there's all kinds of laws that took care of those kind of things. But it shows the stubbornness of the man. The man sinned, not the ox. We still have laws today. Think about it. If an animal kills a human being, it's usually put down, right? Put to death. We've even seen in here recently, within the past couple years, where the dogs attack, a dog attacks a child, maybe it kills a child, unfortunately, or a person, and the dog is put down, put away, put you know. Now, I'm not talking about somebody protecting their home or something. I'm talking about a dog is a wild animal. Gators. There was a gator over in Disney, and it attacked that little boy, dragged him underwater, and killed him, unfortunately. They found that gator, pulled him out there, and they put it to death. But I'll say this. There are way too many two-legged animals that kill and maim and yet are not put down today. And it's a shame and a disgrace before God. And there's a lot of animals out there. All you got to do is just look at the news. Any day, in any place, you're going to see degradation. But why do so many people today dismiss the reality of heaven and hell? Why do so few trust God's word? This person that I was talking to, he's like, no, there is no such thing as heaven and hell. When we die, we just go back to the dirt. And that's it. That's the end of it. It's just nothingness. Well, that can't be. That can't be. You know better. We know better in our hearts. Let's turn all the way over to Romans, all the way to the other end of the Bible here. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is a very good chapter if you want to read about things that's wrong with society today. But in Romans chapter 1, Paul starts out with a salutation to the believers in Rome, and he gives a pleasant discourse all the way up to verse 17. But then, in verse 18, he gives us the rundown of all that civilization descends towards and those that hate God. And so let's read verse 18. Down to verse 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. We're going to touch on that a little bit. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, I see that so much today. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts like cows and creeping things. In verses 19 through 21, that which may be known of God. Because that which may be known of God. That which may be known of God. Look up at the stars. Look at the moon, the sun, the stars. Who put those there? How'd they get there? Did it just happen? Right. That's not good. That's not. It didn't just happen. We know better. We know better than that. God shows man his power, his awesome greatness. Yet they will look away. and concoct foolish theories of how it all evolved. What a foolishness that Darwin came up with. What a bunch of foolishness that has never been scientifically proven. Never. There is no proof of any kind of things evolving from one thing into another. No scientific proof. They don't have one frozen in ice somewhere that's half frog and half baby human. I don't know, stupid stuff like that. There's just not. There isn't one. There is no. They don't have anything that's a proof of that. They're fools. It's nonsense. Like it says here, they profess themselves to be wise. They profess themselves to be scientists. People like Bill Nye profess themselves to be really something, and they're just fools because they say there is no God. Our Bible tells us the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. God is great. He's greatly to be praised. Because man is fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't see how you could ever be a doctor and not believe God. Not believe God. You know, because the body is a miraculous, wonderful thing that God has created. Even how it heals itself. Doctors don't really heal people. They just help your body heal itself. And they'll tell you that too. But we see also in verse 22 that they rebel against God. In verse 23, that men bring God down to their level and even below, making gods of things like cows. And you think that they don't? Look over in India. What do? They don't eat the cows. We probably eat too many cows. But they worship the cows over there. They let them rot, walk the streets and everything because they believe that people have been reincarnated as cows and monkeys and rats and all kinds of things. But cows are one of them. How foolish, worshiping cows. We saw the children of Israel do it, didn't they? The golden calf. No, folks, we are not cows. Neither is God a cow. So don't make an image of him as a cow. Remember, we are made in his image. We owe him all that we have and all that we are. So what must men do to not be like these foolish men that the Apostle Paul describes here in Romans chapter 1? He's describing foolish people. Foolish, thinking they're wise and they're not. They're fools. Well, let's see what Hebrews. Look over in Hebrews. A few books over here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God..." Now pay attention here. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Here, well, I think this is the problem here. This is the problem. In order to understand the universe correctly, in order to envision how the world was made, in order to properly grasp your place in this world, you must first believe that God is. You must believe that God is. You cannot just think that everything is just flowing along, evolving along, and that everybody is like cows and they just turn to dirt when we die. You must believe that God is. Everybody has a conscience. I think everybody has it. Deep down knows that there is a creator, that there is a higher power, a higher being. What did God tell Moses that his name was? Do you remember? I am. He is. And that's what this verse says. You must believe that he is. You must believe in the great I am. And then this verse says what? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then you must diligently seek him. The problem is that most men, and women too, do not want to believe that God is. Why? There's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of reasons why men don't want to believe that God is. Because why? Because then we have to be responsible to God. We have to be responsible for the things that we do, the things that we say, the sins that we do. He's the higher power. He's who we have to answer to. And they certainly don't want to diligently seek him. We are creatures of the darkness. And when the light shows up, we run for the darkness. We want to run away from the light. God is that light. But why? Why do we run away from God? Romans chapter 8 and verse 7 tells us because we are enemies of God. The natural man is at enmity with God. We're enemies with God if he hasn't changed us. So the mind of the flesh, what you can think of or anything, is at odds with God. You know, this also, you want to think about something, imagine this. This also differentiates us from cows. See, that's our idea tonight. It has a lot to do with cows. But that differentiates us from cows because they're not at odds with God. They do what they're supposed to do and always have. What do they do? Go out there, eat some grass, make some milk, have other cows. And they get domesticated and do what the farmers tell them to do or the cattle ranchers tell them to do. And they do it. They're not rebellious to God in their nature. Men are not so. They're always rebelling against God from the very beginning. Adam rebelled against God and sin. Did not do what God told him to do. It plunged the whole world into sin. All of us. We are all sinners. And unlike cows, we must answer to a holy God for our deeds in life. And that's what people don't want to face. They don't want to see that. They don't want to know that what they have done is going to bring them into judgment before God at the end of times after we die. Is it a comfort to men to think that when we die it's all over? That like cows we just go out of existence? Does that comfort people? Does that comfort them to think that you could just live? I mean, some more wickedly than others? Yes. There's some that just do things to other people and just get away with it and don't, it never bothers them. Seemingly, I think that it does. God gives all men a conscience. But thinking that you're just like a cow and you're going to die and become worm dirt, as they say, that's it, it's all over. Your God-given conscience tells you that that is not so. You may say that you believe it, but there is a restless, uneasy feeling that there is more to this life than that of a cow. Yes, there is more. Just as sure as all men die, and that's a sure thing, there will be a reckoning one day. All must give an account for their lives. We're still in Hebrews here. Turn back a page or so to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We don't have a problem believing that we all die, do we? What if all men who believe, and this is some kind of faith, think about this. What if all men who believe that when they die it's all done, yet when they lift up their eyes after death and find themselves in torment, having rejected the very God who offers them salvation, what if they are wrong? Seems like a lot to gamble on, doesn't it? But think about that. How much faith does it take for you to believe that it's all over when we die? You have to believe that. If you're going to live the way that you want to live and not feel like that you have to answer to God, that takes faith. That's a faith that you have to believe in that. I've talked to some people the other day, it's a little bit off subject, but we're talking about, and they wanted to talk about evolution and the earth being, it's so laughable whenever I hear them say millions of years old or billions of years. Boy, that really takes some faith to believe that. Do you really believe that? You don't even know what happened 1,000 years ago or 2,000. How about 5,000 years ago? You can't with any kind of certainty tell me what happened and what's going on. How are you going to tell me something happened 1,000,000 years ago? That's faith on a kind of a religious order, if you want to put it there. You've got to really be believing something that they're peddling, because I don't. I know what the Bible says, and it makes sense to me. I was making a point to these people that I was talking to that we had gone up on a vacation to near Chattanooga. There was a place called Raccoon Caverns. And we went through these caverns. They had all these stalactites and stalagmites. It was a beautiful cave. You know, it was all lit up and everything. And we came around this one corner to some concrete steps that had a handrail and everything going up. And they were obviously man-made. And there was a stalagmite that had grown up from the cave dripping and stuff, and had grown up over that concrete step. Now, they had only been there since the 1960s when this cave was found. So tell me, those stalagmites and everything that they sit there and tell you took millions of years for them to form and stuff, you can't believe everything that people tell you. You can believe this. You can believe God's word, his account of what happened. So what if they're wrong? There will be no second chance. The second chance is right now. Man has a second chance right now. Look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. We might want to go backwards here, but Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Talking about the children of Israel when they provoked the Lord. Don't harden your heart. Listen to God's word. See if it's not true. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what I wanted you to see in that verse. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Fool you. Fully into stuff. It's deceitful. But men's hearts are hard naturally. What has to happen in order to take the stony heart and soften it towards God? What has to happen here? Can a person do it on their own? Can you just conjure up yourself that now I'm going to start following God? It is good if a person wishes to change themselves or to find out what it is, if they have something that has piqued their interest about the things of God. It is a good thing for them to follow that. I don't believe that you can just conjure up what is required for salvation. It's not possible. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 2 through 5. Paul talking to the Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. It says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And Brother Bourne brought this out, and I really love it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. This gives an account of those that believe and how those ones are changed, how their hearts are changed, how their lives are changed. We are all under sin, as it says, and we are all children of wrath. Does that mean everybody's a bad person? No, everybody's not the same. However, we are all sinners. And even the slightest sin is enough to send a person to hell for eternity. And that, does that sound not fair? Well, then you just don't understand how holy God is. Our sin has to be paid for. But God, a truly wonderful, miraculous statement. He is rich in mercy. He has great love for his own, even when they were yet unbelievers. Think about that. He makes them alive, gives them repentance and faith, and bestows his amazing grace upon him. This is how that a person is changed from that person that believes we are no better than cows, that when we die, it's all over. God gives them, he breathes into them, and gives them a gift of repentance and faith towards him. It is something new in their life, and it's something changed in their life. God also gives them great and precious promises. Eternal life and heaven, so wonderful that no man has ever imagined what it's like. Think about that. Why does God give us these things? Why? It's not because of anything that we do. It's not because of anything that we have earned. We can't do enough to get to heaven. We can't do enough to obtain God's grace. It is all his doing. And therefore, he gets all the glory. Paul addressed this very topic in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15. Get there in a second. Let's read verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He's reasoning this out here. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Now, a lot of people think that preaching is vain. It is not vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. We're liars, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. See, this is what we're getting at. We're not just cows. We're not just turning back into dirt. If there's no resurrection, that's what they're saying. They're saying there's no resurrection, there's nothing else. That's it. That's the end of it. But that's not it. Verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. You still sin. This is what Paul's saying. You're still a sinner. Even if all of this is not true, you're still a sinner. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, what he's saying is, if all of this that God has commanded us to do, if all of this that we have done in worshiping God, in preaching the gospel and everything, and it's all in vain because there is no resurrection. Because when we die, we're just like cows, and we go back to the dirt, and that, and it's all over. He said, then we are all men most miserable. We should just be out what? Partying it up is kind of the idea. But no, that's not true. But that is not true. If we are just as the cows, then there is no resurrection. But there is a resurrection. Just as the sun rises each morning as a type of Christ, we will arise one day, some to life eternal, some to everlasting punishment. Where will you be? Where will you be? We are not cows. God has created us to praise and glorify Him. If you find it in your heart to seek after the Lord, do so. He will be found. He actually finds you. All right. Well, that's all I have tonight.